we should be so grateful that we have the privilege to do that here now, today. So I encourage you to have it out in front of you, to follow along as I read this short passage from Paul's letter to the Philippians in chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Hear now God's word. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. This is the word of the Lord.
We are in a series that we're just starting this morning. It's called Five Down, Five to Go. And that is in reference to us being halfway through the decade of the 2020s. As of January, we will be halfway through. And it's been a wild ride for us. It's been a wild ride for everybody in the 2020s. But our church in particular, we've had there's a lot that's happened. And so much to rejoice in. So what we're doing is we are asking you, if you're part of this church, you call this church your home, you should have received something in the mail with this card, and it's a commitment card. And if you didn't receive one and you are dying to have one, then the table in the back, as you walk out, the center table in the narthex will have an extra card for you. And what we're asking you to do is to fill one out and commit to giving to NAPC in 2025. And that does two things. Number one, we are challenging you to tithe, to actually give 10% of whatever it is that the Lord gives you to give to the ministry of NAPC and wherever else the kingdom of God is being advanced. So we want to challenge you to do that. And that helps because if you are just haphazardly, not really, just kind of unthinkingly giving, you very likely will not give as much as if you really make a commitment and set a goal for tithing. And so we want to encourage you to do that. Second way that it's helpful is it helps our church because as leaders, the elders would love to know how much giving people are expecting to give, and that helps us budget. We're going to present the budget next Sunday. So it's not like we're not drawing up the budget until we receive folks' commitments, but it does help us in our planning for the future. And so I want to encourage you to do that. And this series is really intended to look back and then look forward to where we believe God is leading us. This morning, we're going to look back and just see how faithful he's been. God has been so faithful to this church and how grateful I am, and we all should be for what he's up to here. So let's pray first, and then we'll take a look at the text. Father, thank you for your great love for us. There are so many things for which to be grateful in our lives. And all of us face difficulties, trials, but we are truly people who are blessed. And so help us to have gratitude, tremendous gratitude in our hearts. And Lord, we pray that this short and sweet passage in Philippians would come alive. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would fill me so that I speak the words you want me to speak. And I pray that you would fill the hearts of every believer here, that you would ignite in them a passion for you, Jesus, a desire, a longing for you, and the courage to be obedient to you no matter where you lead. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Very short passage, and I want to give you just a little bit of background on Philippians. Paul, it's in the New Testament. A guy named Paul wrote the letter to the church in Philippi, and he wrote this very likely when he was in prison, and he was under house arrest in Rome, and he was awaiting death. He was going to be executed because Paul was a man who loved to stir up trouble for the gospel, and you have to admire a guy who gets beaten with rods, stoned, thrown out of cities, you know, they want to kill, the mobs come after him, and the guy just keeps going. Like, he just doesn't stop talking about Jesus. That's what gets him arrested. And so, raise your hand if you'd be stressed out if you were waiting for your own execution. Okay? I think most of us would be. Paul, it's like the most joyful letter in the New Testament. All he's talking about is how thankful he is and how joyful he is. And that he's calling us to finish the race as he is finishing the race. So he begins his letter with, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul is grateful for long-term partnerships in the gospel. See, the Philippians, they could have just said, you know, you're in prison. I don't know, you're way across the globe, and Philippi's a long way from Rome. Best of luck. It's not what they did. They actually sent a guy. See, in prison in the first century, you didn't get 3 squares a day. You got 0 squares a day. And if somebody didn't come and give you food, you'd die of starvation. So the Philippian church loves Paul, and they send a guy named Epaphroditus bearing gifts, you know, probably a blanket and some food. And Epaphroditus gets there and gives it to him, and then Epaphroditus gets really, really sick, and he almost dies. And so Paul is so thankful that Epaphroditus didn't die, and he's really thankful for the Philippians. And they have this partnership in the gospel, long-term partnership. What does that mean to have a long-term partnership in the gospel? Well, it means first and foremost that the relationships you have with brothers and sisters in Christ is founded on the gospel, the message of Christianity. So what is the message of Christianity? Y'all know it, right? Well, some of you might not know it, so I'm going to tell you, okay? Because even if you've heard it 1,000 times, this should never get old, okay? It's 4 things, 4 points. This is the basic of, this is what Christianity is. Number one, you are not an accident. You were created in the image of God. You're the apex of the creation, and you were called and commanded to be in relationship with God because he loves you and he knows what's best for you. You're not an accident. You didn't just come together through a weird collection of atoms. Something didn't come from nothing. Isn't that amazing? Like, that's so basic. Something cannot come from nothing. And God created it. And he created you in his image. That's the first point. The second point is, you have botched it so badly. I mean, you have messed the whole thing up. And so have I. We've done it by rejecting what God intends for us, by saying, God, I don't want you over me. I don't want your authority. I want to be the authority. I want to do what I want to do, whatever feels good, whatever I think is right. And if your word tells me something different, I don't want it. All of us have done that. We've done that in our hearts. We've done that repeatedly. We do that daily. And the Bible calls that sin. And the Bible says that you and I, to quote, I don't remember his name, but he's the lead singer for AC/DC, we're on the highway to hell. All of us are. I got an amen in the first service after I quoted that. Guy who loves classic rock. So you and I are heading that way. And there's nothing we can do to get off the highway to hell. But here's the third point, the greatest news. In that position, hurtling to destruction, God sent Jesus, and Jesus, the eternal Son, took on flesh, and he took on flesh for you and me. He humbled himself, and he went to the cross. And when he died on the cross, he died for sin, and he died for sinners. And you and I, though we are sinners, we have been shown mercy that we don't deserve. And the fourth point is, you can't just know that and say, oh, that's very nice, and then go about your life. You have to either reject it as, no, I don't believe that, I'm doing what I want to do, or receive it, and your whole life changes, and you repent and believe in Jesus, and by his grace, he fills you with the Spirit, and you now can be like Jesus. You can be a little Jesus out in the world, shining the light and love of Christ. You can invest what he's given you, the talents he's given you, to make an impact in the world, to be productive, to create new businesses and maybe start a new school and maybe work your job and share the gospel with other people or raise a family. All these amazing things that you and I are called and commanded to do, and we do it following Jesus. That's the gospel. It's good news. Amen. It is good news. It's what we build our lives on, and it's the foundation of this relationship between Paul and the church that he planted in Philippi, these brothers and sisters that he loves so much, and they've been in it together for the long term. And I want to talk a little bit about the last 5 years for us. And I think if we are to look at the last 5 years that have been pretty wild, it helps to look at the previous 5 years before then. So I'm going to back up 10 years. And it's been interesting, hasn't it? Pretty interesting, the last 10 years in the life of our church. And if it was, well, you know how if you go on vacation and you go to the beach and it's nice, It's really calm. You get to rest, and maybe you eat food, and you drink drinks, and you lay on the beach, and you read a book. Is that interesting to anyone when you come back and tell them that? It's so boring. Like, what'd you do? Well, I sat on the beach the first day, and then I sat. I'm not saying it's bad. It's just boring. And J.R.R. Tolkien, who I happen to like, he wrote The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. He says this in The Hobbit. He says this. Now, it is a strange thing, but things that are good to have and days that are good to spend are soon told about and not much to listen to. While things that are uncomfortable, palpitating, and even gruesome may make a good tale and take a deal of telling anyway. And I would say that we have had some uncomfortable, palpitating, maybe even gruesome moments in the life of the church over the last 10 years. In 2012, it took a lot of effort and a lot of giving and generosity on the people who were part of the church when we were in the school back in the day, and we built this church and we moved in August of 2012. Well, about 3 years later, the elders, having looked at the denomination that we were a part of a group of churches in America called the PCUSA, we believed that the way they were going was the wrong way. And the reason that we thought, you know that line, John Candy, you're going the wrong, what is it, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, when he's going down the wrong, like we were saying that. And the trajectory of our church was this way, the trajectory of the denomination was that way, and we were getting further and further apart. Why? Because they were disobedient to the Word of God, and they were basically blessing sin over and over and over again. And we just said, we can't do that. We can't. So our elders unanimously decided to recommend to the congregation that we leave the denomination that we were a part of. And then on November the 6th, 2016, so almost 8 years ago to the day, we presented to the congregation this vote. And there was an 84% vote in favor of leaving the denomination. And we're all very excited about that. It was wonderful. But that was like just the beginning. So then we had to go to the presbytery, this regional body of churches, and we said to them, hey, we voted, we're leaving. And we felt pretty confident that, you know, we would have to pay an exit fee, an exorbitant exit fee, because that's what happens in these situations. But we didn't think we would lose the building because, you know, no church in the history of the presbytery had ever lost their building. So we're not going to lose it, right? Wrong. So through the course of the next couple years, it was clearer and clearer that we were actually going to lose the building. And that is a huge blow to people who have invested and given and been baptized and weddings and all these things. And so we found out in September of 2018 that we were going to lose the building. And we thought it was heading that way. So we scheduled a meeting that very night that we found out. And it was a Tuesday night. And, you know, you're busy, I'm busy, there's stuff going on. But lots of people came to this meeting. Lots of our people, lots of you people came to this meeting. And at that meeting, we shared, hey, this is what's happening. We're going to lose a property. And we offered an opportunity for anybody who wanted to commit to staying with the church, no matter where we went, to sign this charter. And we had many of them, and we still have them, they're beautiful. And we had this incredible time of people signing and people worshiping together as we committed to staying together as a body of Christ, even though we're leaving the building. That's pretty awesome, because it's nice to have a building, amen? It's nice. It's not nice to leave the building, and we were leaving. And so that was September 2018. September 2019, we left, and I'm telling you, we had to do lots of planning in order to leave the building. And there was, like, going through all of the mobile church, preparing to be a mobile church is stressful. And that was why I took a sabbatical the summer of 2019. Just left it to everybody else. But Ken and Carla and our elders just did a phenomenal job planning, preparing for that. And September of 2019, we left the old building and we went into the school. And there we were at the school, and the school was great. I mean, there we were. And how many, raise your hand, by the way, if you were part of any volunteering to set up, tear down, run the soundboard, do all that stuff. Number of you were. That was a grind, wasn't it? But God was good, and we had great stuff going on in those first few months. Felt like there was good momentum, and lots of people were coming, and even new people were coming, and then they weren't. Because March 2020 happened, and we did this, which was awful. I mean, it was miserable. And, man, we're never doing that again. We're never closing our doors. Yes. Good. Good. At least two of you agree, and the rest of you are just clapping perfunctorily. But I'm going to interpret it differently. So, we didn't meet for a couple months. And then, of course, we met outside. And that was pretty cool. Franklin Church, what an awesome church over off of Central College, partnered with us. They were so gracious. We actually, yes, praise the Lord for them. We actually had Pastor Mike in a few months ago and honored him. We're so grateful for that experience. And most days, it was summer, so and into the early fall. And so most days were like this, but one day was like that. And we didn't cancel. We had canceled church enough, so we were not canceling. And I'm telling you, that is one of my favorite worship services of my life. For me and like the other 17 people that were there. But man, it was crazy. Like torrential downpour. And we worshiped because we ought to worship every Sunday. And then we went back in the building in the fall of 2020. We were finally allowed back in. Now, earlier in the year in May 2020, through this incredible gift of God, through people in our church who had great relationships in our city, and just the providence of God, we were given an opportunity to buy this land in May of 2020. This is a picture of the land before anything was built on it with all the trees, and we had an event there in the fall of 2020. Why? Well, because we decided in the fall of 2020 that we were going to start a capital campaign in the middle of COVID. Now, we had two options. One was wait, and the other was go. And, you know, we don't like to wait. We want to go. And so we just said, we're going to try it. And the guy who helped us, great guy, his name is Greg Gibbs, who's a consultant. He said, you're probably going to raise, your max raised is $3.25 million, which would give us like a smaller version of this and a smaller version of the Narthex space and down the way until the admin space and no children's ministry space. And you all gave, you committed $4.5 million, 40% above what he thought. And then, through the course of the next couple years, $5 million came in, which allowed us to build this building. And we did basically phases one and two at the same time. That is absolutely phenomenal. And we weren't just focused on the building during those years, over the last 5 years. We were grinding. We were, like, we were, you know, every Sunday, so many volunteers. And praise the Lord for all of you who continued to help and serve. And then, you know, we started, there were these opportunities to partner with ministries. There's one ministry that was very obscure. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called LifeWise. Have you heard of that? There were like 8 or 10 LifeWise ministries, only in rural places where there's a lot of support in the community. We were the flagship suburban community, and a couple folks in our church, especially Joel and Catherine Anders, they were like the entrepreneurs who got it started. And since then, if you're familiar with LifeWise, blew up 300 plus LifeWise all over the country, and not without controversy, right? There's some people who don't want kids to hear about Jesus. And other people who do want kids to hear about Jesus, so we will keep sharing Jesus with them. But we started a ministry, a pro-life ministry, during this time. And, you know, God has blessed that. We've helped out foster parents. We've helped out in adoption ministry. We've helped out pregnancy decision health centers, which, you know, counsels women to not abort their children, but to have them and then give all kinds of support to them. And we've done that at times where, I mean, in fact, it was about a year ago, it was right before the election, it was the second week that we were in the building when our elders, we all decided that because of this issue one last year, and, you know, unfortunately it passed, but we just said, we got to say something. We got to encourage our people to vote against this because God's people can't be we can't be for abortion. We can't do that. No, we want to love, serve, all kinds. We're not judging anybody. There's forgiveness and grace at the cross, but we can't have. So in week two of the building opening, we had this like pro-life Sunday. And I will tell you that anybody who's into church growth probably wouldn't, you know, draw that up as a strategy. But, you know, we got to go where God leads us. We got to, and you know, the Lord will take care of the rest. So, you know, back to the last 5 years, we broke ground in December 2021. The building was going up. And man, this doesn't happen without long-term partnerships in the gospel. It just doesn't. That's what we've had. And last October, we opened our doors and had an amazing, amazing first Sunday, and we've been rolling ever since. And I just want to say that I am so grateful for you, who I've known for a long time, long-term partners in the gospel. Together, we are. We're partners. And, you know, through that time, a long time, there have been times where I've needed to be rebuked and where you have rebuked me, and, you know, and that's been super helpful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. That's what Proverbs says. And there have been times where I've rebuked you, and hopefully those words are helpful as well. And that's what we do in Christian community. We hold each other accountable, and we're not going to be perfect. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to sin. And so we call each other to repent and trust in Jesus more. Amen? That's what it's like to live in community together over the long run. And man, I'm so grateful. I just want you to know how grateful I am for you who have been long-term partners in the gospel, who have been here in the long, thick and thin. You know, there have been times where maybe you wanted to leave, but you haven't, and you've hung in there, and you are the backbone of this church. So I praise God for that. Now, what happened when we got in the building is a whole bunch of new partnerships in the gospel have formed, and that's awesome. So raise your hand if you've been here only since the doors have opened. Raise your hand. Okay, a number of you have. Praise God for that. That's really awesome. Yes, it's awesome. So grateful for that. We've had people come back to celebrate the opening of the building who were part of our church and moved away, and they come back and, you know, they're looking around, I'm hugging them, and they're talking to people they know, and then they're like, who are all these other people? I don't know any of them. And I'm like, well, I'm just getting to know them. You know, I don't know them that well, but I want to, and we're getting to know each other better. And you all are a tremendous blessing to the life of our church. You have been so, you've jumped in. And to the point where, you know, these are just some numbers for this year. We've grown by 32%, almost a third. With giving, growth, it's just phenomenal. 50 plus new members in 2024. Never happened in the life of our church. Not even close. And those are all so encouraging. And I want to say that it's the attendance. We had no idea what would happen. This is not what's happening in the wider church world in America. And the giving is just phenomenal because we did not prepare for that. And it's nice to have something happen that you didn't prepare for like that. Because we just typically, when people start coming to church, giving lags because you don't know if you're going to be here and you're not yet invested. And yet, people have just been overwhelmingly generous, and I want to encourage you and thank you for that, and just say, for those who have been here a long time, those who have just started, please continue in your generosity. It is an incredible blessing to our church. It allows us to do things like this building's a little bit, it's a little bit more expensive to run than we thought it would be, and your giving has just helped us with that. We've been able to take care of staff a little bit more. What a blessing that is. We have this opportunity to invest in the kingdom of God in some pretty exciting ways. And we'll talk more about that next week, but I just want to encourage you to keep it up. Keep going. Finish strong this year. It will be an incredible blessing to us if you continue to do what you're doing. All of this is to say thank you for long-term partnerships, for short-term new partnerships that are going to be long-term. Man, I praise God. It's just a joyful, joyful thing. And so I'll close with asking you a simple question. Are you grateful? Are you grateful to God for what he's doing here? But are you great, more than that, are you grateful for what God is doing in your life In all of the different ways, he's at work. Because it doesn't have to be the way it is. It could be a lot worse than it is. And we have so much to be grateful for, all of us. Now, I'm not diminishing anybody's trials and struggles, but, you know, it's pretty awesome that every trial and struggle and every tragedy we face, God is building for us an immeasurable weight of glory such that the suffering and trials we experience here, they are light compared to the weight of glory that is awaiting us who persevere to the end. I mean, that's awesome to know, isn't it? It's great to know. I shared this quote last week from G.K. Chesterton. I love this quote. I would maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought. Gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder. You can't help but be happy when you're grateful. And when you're grateful, you are doubling the happiness because you just look around in wonder at the world that God made and your humble place in it and what a blessing it is to be alive right now. Isn't it? I mean, you're just like, we're so blessed. There's so many things. We should be, if we were more thankful, we would be more happy. We really would. One thing I'm not all that thankful for is junk mail. My email that I get just, do you get like hundreds and hundreds? Like, it doesn't matter how much I unsubscribe. It's like they just keep on coming. I mean, talk about persevering. I was deleting my many junk emails, and this one came across, and I was about to delete it, and I was like I stopped because I don't know how I got on Teladoc's mass distribution list. I have no idea. But HealthBeat, take the 30-day gratitude challenge. So I'm like, okay, I know what I'm preaching on Sunday. I'll bite. So I clicked through, and you know, most of them were kind of cheesy and dumb, but they actually had some good things to say about gratitude. So I'm going to share them with you, okay? Three things that you can work on to be more grateful, okay? The first one is, you know, we're in the month of November, okay? What's the big holiday at the end of November? Thanksgiving, giving thanks. If you just, from now until Thanksgiving Day, write down on a piece of paper or in your phone, three things you're thankful for every day. I bet that you will be more happy. And we have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? I mean, if you know the history of Thanksgiving, 1620, the Mayflower came and landed at Plymouth Rock, Plymouth, Massachusetts. Do you know it was 2 months late and they arrived in December? December in Massachusetts is no bueno, especially if you don't have a house or central heating. And of those 102 people, 50, half, less than half, survived that very first winter. And do you know why they came? These are Reformed, Evangelical, Protestants. In other words, us, 400 years ago. And they went taking this unbelievable risk. Many of them gave their lives for this risk. And they did it because they were being persecuted and they wanted to build a community that was rooted in the gospel and rooted in the values of the Christian faith, like hard work and perseverance and justice and so on. And that's what they did. Only 50 people survived. And in 1621, with a local native tribe, they celebrated and thanked God for the blessings that they had been given. Do you know, by the way, those 50 people, do you know how many descendants they estimate are still around today from those 50? 30? Do you know? But you're one of them. April Zorich's one of them. Praise the Lord. Let's clap. Yeah, yeah. Way to be alive. 35 million descendants from those 50. And I would argue that so much of what is great about our country is because of people like them who came to America and wanted to build a culture. Now, we have our warts, obviously, we have all kinds of problems, but we live in a great place. We ought to rejoice. So if you give thanks, three things a day, just three things a day, you will be happier. So give thanks. Second, say thank you to someone this month. Write a note of gratitude. to someone this month, okay? And I'm not fishing here, so just write it to somebody else, okay? But thank somebody for what how the Lord has used them in your life. When you thank people, you are more aware of your blessings. So just write a note to somebody or shoot a text to somebody. That's like the low bar. Like, it's pretty easy. Thank you for, I don't know, watching the game with me yesterday, whatever. Yesterday, it's actually very encouraging, even when you get a text. Yesterday, I got a text from a couple in our church. They are long-term partnership. They've been around for 15-plus years, and they just said, thank you, David, for being bold and courageous and for standing on the gospel. Appreciate you. It was very simple, and man, like, made my day. We ought to be more vocal about being thankful for one another. And then lastly, just meditate a little bit every day on what might have happened in your life, okay? It could have gone far worse than it's going right now, right? Way worse. You could have been born, if you have great parents like I do, you could have been born without those great parents, or if you survived parents that were less than great, praise the Lord for that. If you are 40, guess what? You have reached the average age worldwide lifetime of people that have ever lived, okay? The average age is 40, like you die at 40, but here you are, you're 40, you're 41, you're still alive. Praise the Lord for that. If you are a teenager, you live in good times, let me tell you, okay? You know, back in my day, I grew up in good times too, but just think about this, everybody. A couple hundred years ago, man, we would be so much tougher because we wouldn't have things like central heat and central air and vacations and all the blessings that we had. So what could have gone? I mean, you didn't ask to be born in the 21st century, and here you are. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good? It's good to be alive. Amen? So remember, lots of things could have gone wrong, and yet they're going so well. So are we grateful as a people? We ought to be grateful as a people. And I, for one, rejoice that I get to be pastor of this church. It really is an incredible gift, and I'm very, very grateful. I'm grateful to be on the ride with you all, and the future is absolutely exciting. There's a lot that the Lord's going to do. I feel confident that the Lord will do amazing things, and I'll talk about that more next week. Rejoice, be glad, and thank you for the partnership in the gospel. And last thing, if you don't know Jesus and you're here, it's not some, you know, hoodoo, voodoo prayer, special prayer that you have to pray. It's very simple. It's Jesus, I believe in you, and I'm sorry for my sins, and I devote my life to you now. If you're not a Christian, what would prevent you from becoming a Christian right now? Repent and believe and become a new creation. And if you want to know more, come find me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace, mercy, and your love. It's amazing that we belong to you, and we are grateful. And there are plenty of people around us who don't know you, and there are plenty of people who we want to see the next generation flourish as followers of yours. We ask for that. Lord, I pray for everybody in this room, whoever is maybe not a Christian, maybe they don't know if they're a Christian or not. I pray that they would right here and now, that they would pray this prayer, this simple prayer of repentance and faith. God, I know you're real. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I need help because I'm heading to hell on my own, and I can't be good enough to be worthy of your love and your acceptance. But I also know that Jesus came to rescue me. I know that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. He rose from the grave victoriously. And right here and now, I turn from my sin. I turn toward you, Jesus, and I believe in you. And Lord, I pray if anybody prayed that prayer for the first time, Spirit, would you fill them, give them, cause them to be born again, cause them to be baptized in you, Holy Spirit, that their eternity might be forever changed, that they might be new partners in the gospel. Father, hear us now as we pray according to how you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Know this, the God of the universe, he loves you and he commands you to go out in the world to be salt and light, to share the love and the life of Jesus. So go and do that, and please lift up your hands, receive this benediction blessing. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always.